Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're going to talk about the work, the good work in the community of the Thurman Brisbane Center this morning. David Cooper, the executive director, is here along with Joe Hargrove, the community relations officer, and the volunteer coordinator. Good morning to both of you. Thank you for getting up and coming in this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Yes, good morning. Thank you.
David, I'll start off with you. It's been many years since we've done a show with the Thurman Brisbane Center. Too long. So it's good to have you here. Talk about your connection. You were telling me that you're relatively new there.
I am. Thanks, Ted. So yes, I've been here for about a year and a half. Delighted to be here. I'm a resident of Caroline County and have been working in lots of different places, including Richmond, Virginia, in the past. I've been at this particular type of work for about 17 years now, and I've seen a lot of different things in shelters from across the country. Delighted to be in this really well-run, well-managed, tip of the hat to all of my wonderful staff that have worked here. 31 years now since Thurman Brisbane had developed this center, had envisioned it, and really going well now.
Wow, I didn't realize that it was 31 years. That there has been some staying power there, and boy, the people that have been impacted. And as we go along this morning, we'll talk about just the stories of people that are helped.
Yeah, just a quick number. Over the past since the shelter was relocated, this position, we've served over 7,000 people. Last year, we served close to 600 people, 90 wow. children, 47 military veterans.
Wow, and for people that don't know, if you go online and you look, the shelter is very well run. It's a dignified place to be. I guess that's the best word I can come up with. It's a nice facility.
Yeah, thank you. And so we keep it that way. And the folks who are in the facility, staying there, the residents we call them, participate in housekeeping so that they help keep the place clean and have some responsibilities around the building. And so it's a collaborative effort. It's a congregate living situation.
You mentioned how you've been involved with this type of work. How did for a while, where did you get that passion from?
Well, sure. I spent the first 21 years of my career in the construction industry and all the way from the Caribbean to the state of Maine and doing large construction projects. And I left that career in the 90s and went to grad school. Mm-hmm. Part of that motivation came from a lady I met one morning at breakfast, and she was homeless. And I struck up a conversation with her that really did pique my interest around what are some of the issues that the homeless people encounter. So that really was part of the motivation for me moving in the direction. So I spent quite a number of years in grad school from Atlanta to Richmond and led me continually toward what are the issues that the homeless deal with. And so that's a very quick spin through a lot of years of career. But so I've put together my social work, my nonprofit administration, my theological perspectives, and studied under some wonderful people all together, kind of amalgamated to provide some services, not only just for the homeless, but with the homeless, focusing on their dignity, their worth. I want to end this brief piece with something that a good friend of mine from Belfast, Northern Ireland said. He said, start with what's strong, not what's wrong.
Yeah, boy, what a great thing. And I know over the years, just on this show and in talking with people from Mike and Hope House, they'll talk about just putting that the homeless aren't someone that you need to be afraid of. And there are a lot of stereotypes and a lot of misconceptions that a lot of us have.
Mm-hmm. True. So here's one misconception. A lot of people believe that the homeless don't work.
Yeah.
And that's not true. We have folks in the shelter that are working some as many as 16 hours a day and doing their very best to be able to earn an income, to be able to get out of the shelter and be successful again.
Boy, and this community, this area, it's so hard because, like you say, sometimes you have to have several jobs just to try to make it.
Yeah, we've had folks that have had as many as three jobs.
Mm. David Cooper here. He is the executive director with the Thurman Brisbane Center. Joe Hargrove is also here. Joe, what's your story? How'd you get involved with Thurman Brisbane?
I have a very unique story, and it just kind of talks about what you were talking about. There really is no profile of homelessness.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have a profile of an older guy under a bridge with a bottle of booze. And,
yeah.
You know, I never knew what that was. I was raised in a great family, a military family. I didn't know what homelessness was. And then it hit me. I was actually homeless 6 years ago. I had a job in the frozen food industry making a large, large income and got hit by a car when I was walking and found myself in 9 months of physical therapy, learning how to walk and talk again. And in that 9 months, I lost everything.
Wow.
And I found myself walking through the front doors of the Brisbane Center, a dejected, sad man. And that center, I stayed there for 3 months. That center, I followed their program and turned my life around from destitute to thriving. So that's my passion right there. I experienced it myself. And I saw what the Brisbane Center did. And after about 6 months of me, you know, getting my own apartment again, and I connected with the director, and he asked me if I wanted to come work there part-time. I thought, no way. I don't want to do that. But I did, and I've just moved up through the ranks there, and I love it. When those men and women walk through the front door, I know what they're feeling, and I can pull them aside and say, look, you know, you can get through this. If I did it as a 50-year-old man, you can do it.
What?
So that's my passion.
What a story, though. What a story. Like you say, there's so many of us just look at that one stereotype mm-hmm. of, you know, well, you must have been under the bridge. And, I mean, you're as far away from that as you can
be. I'm a college graduate. I've never been unemployed in my whole life. You know, I've always done volunteering things. I'm not the typical one, but that's what in this community, these are our neighbors.
Yeah.
These are just people that are one paycheck away from losing everything, and I lost it. And I tell you what, the one thing that really made a huge difference for me is the dignity that the Brisbane Center offers you. You know, you're embarrassed to be there if because of your life, but the dignity was incredible. And it's a great program, and I followed the program, and I saved all the money I had while I was there, and I got a job putting a piece of cheese on a piece of bread, which was the worst thing in the world, but it was a job. And they helped me get that, and then, got me back on my feet. So that's my passion.
What a great story, though. What a great story to show, especially the other is, you know, because we always hear about, you know, we're all one paycheck away. And like you said, I mean, you got up that morning when things were going well, mm-hmm. not having any idea what was going to happen.
Yep. Went out for a walk and woke up in the hospital, and then I literally had to learn how to talk and learn how to walk again. 9 months of physical therapy, and during that time, I lost everything.
And how hard it must have been to go to the Brisbane Center and walk in there and ask for help.
It was. I was very defeated by then because I've always been self-sufficient and self-reliant. But I, you know, God just led me to go in there, and now I see why, because that's part of His plan. I firmly believe that.
Yeah.
For me to experience that, so I can reach out and help and be relevant with this process.
Boy, and like you say, when people come in, you know what they're you do
absolutely
really know.
Absolutely, I do, and I pull them all aside and say, "Let me tell you something. Just do what you're supposed to do here, and you'll get through it." So.
Wow, what a great story. Good to have you here, Joe. I did not expect that story. I figured that you would just talk about how you'd gotten involved through your church and you liked it and it went from there, but that is a great story. Thurman Brisbane Center, our focus this morning, brisbanecenter.org, the website if you want to check things out. David Cooper is here, Joe Hargrove is here, and we will be right back. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Joe Hargrove and David Cooper from the Thurman Brisbane Center in this morning. BrisbaneCenter.org is the website. We're going to talk this morning and as we go along just about all the great things that go on at the Brisbane Center and ways that we can all be involved. David Cooper's executive director. David, Joe mentioned just the, you know, when he got in there, the program that helped him. We'll talk a little bit about the program itself. Do people just walk in off the street, or how do they get to you?
Sure. Well, they often come through a coordinated assessment line that works at the local level. And so basically anyone who is experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness, mm-hmm. they call this one coordinated assessment line.
Okay.
And then there's a threshold of questions that people answer, and then they're referred to the various shelters in the community. Brisbane is one of them. And so that's the primary method. There's also occasionally we have an emergency situation that occurs, and so we can do some intakes that way, but most of the intakes come through coordinated assessment. I wanted to admit, you asked a question about how people are helped. I just wanted to make clear that the Brisbane Center provides emergency shelter, but it also provides restorative services. So that's an important part of the work mm-hmm. that we do. Those restorative services are really supported by two case managers that work with folks individually to develop plans for rehousing. We also have a brand new program called Mobility Mentoring. Mobility Mentoring is a program that takes a trained, supported coach, and they're a volunteer, connects them with a motivated resident of the center, and then they work with that resident to develop a set of plans for their success. And so that plan typically takes place, starts to form while the folks are at the shelter, but then this coach follows them for 12 months after they mm-hmm. depart the shelter. So there's a relationship, there's trustworthiness, and then a focus on restoration of that individual.
Wow, what a great thing that it's not just that you're there for a certain amount of time and then good luck to you. There's a lot that goes into this of helping, real like you say, restore them.
Yes, that's an important point, because we do focus a lot on restoration that includes not only their social skills but hard skills. We're just in the process now of developing some relationships, new relationships with the workforce board and around workforce development, so that folks can begin this process toward the best employment that they can find and the best employment that we can help them prepare to find, and so that they can develop livable wage incomes. So there's a real strategy to this, particularly with mobility mentoring, taking them into the future for long-term success.
Well, and David, I guess everybody comes in at different levels and has different needs, because you take a look. I mean, some people come in and need a lot of different skills depending on their age and experience. You have somebody like Joe who's come in, and he's got some skills, but he might be just defeated with what's happened in life.
Yeah, so we really focus, particularly with mobility mentoring, we say folks need to be in the shelter for 30 days. It's a respite. It's a place for them to stabilize, to begin to gain mm-hmm. some of their wits about them again, because they're really challenged. And so once they've stabilized, then those folks who are motivated are able to get into this program and move ahead. But stability is important. That's the first thing we want folks to do. And like I said, we have women, children, singles, families, all at the shelter. So all people are at different stages of stability, and all have different motivations toward their future.
Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, one of the things that, and I'm going to touch what Dave was saying, is case management is very, very important, you know, to get them focused on how to get rehoused. But we also, our case managers are very, very good. We also lead people to different agencies that might help, like veterans. The day a veteran walks in there, we have a veteran association there, somebody from the veterans to tell him what he can do, what he can't do, what kind of programs they have. Same with somebody with some substance abuse issues. We're going to take them right away mm-hmm. to RACSB and different agencies. So we're going to provide them with some services that's also going to help them. And one of the things that I'm really proud of is what we've done with the veterans. Sometimes we'll pair them up together. Because most of the veterans we get are on some kind of disability. But a lot of the veterans don't realize there's a lot more out there for them. And sometimes they need help navigating that. And that's what the Brisbane Center does too. And we have very successful numbers with the veterans. So it's the case management is very, very important there. We also provide dignity once they walk in those doors. We serve over 95,000 meals a year at the Brisbane Center with no budget. We have less than $200 budget for our food. So this community is incredible, Ted. Churches, organizations, scouts, high schools, individuals, families, they all sponsor meals, and they bring the food into our commercial kitchen, regulated by the health department mm-hmm. and USDA compliant, and provide these meals. And when you see a person walk in that front door, by the second or third day, you just see a different skin tone. You see a little step in their life, because when you're homeless, the last thing you worry about is what you're eating. You can get a loaf of bread for 99 cents and a pack of bologna for 99 cents. There's 10 sandwiches right there. Mm. But when you come in and we get vegetables from the Spotsylvania's Farmers Market. We get, you know, healthy, nutritious meals. And that makes a big, huge difference in their whole demeanor while they're going through the journey back into permanent housing.
And boy, I think that if you pay attention, or you have any kind of, you do anything on Facebook at least, I seem to see at least a couple of times a week that someone I know is either, like you say, they're Boy Scout troop, or their church, or just a group of them in a Sunday school class. That's the one thing that always has always struck me about the Thurman Brisbane Center. A lot of people do volunteer to go in and do meals.
Yeah, thank you, Ted. When I think about the number of volunteers, we were just talking with Joe yesterday, and we tallied that there's about 2,500 volunteers that have come through the center in the past year. And so a lot of those are meal volunteers, but they're also volunteers that work with children. The Mary Washington University students come in, mm-hmm. and they'll read to children in the Bridges to Books and have the children read back to them. So there are just so many ways that volunteers connect and support the center. We couldn't operate without volunteers.
And so, Joe, since you're one of your hats as the volunteer coordinator, I'm sure you're always looking for more people. And I guess whatever skill you have, you'll find some place to plug them in.
I do, and I get a lot of questions about that. You know, we have so many opportunities, Ted. We have a need for transportation drivers to take them to medical appointments or to job interviews. We always need help, with the meal program. We are looking for help just maintenance around the building to help. I've got a high school kid that's coming in once a week to mow our yard. We don't have staffing for that, so we depend on volunteers for those type of things. We've got a volunteer right now, today, I think, Dave, painting part of the wall that needs to be painted.
Yeah.
So there's always a need for volunteers, especially. I like seeing the kids come in there. People say the kids nowadays don't do anything, but if you look at our Facebook page and our website, we have lots and lots of young adults, teenagers. We have a homeschool group that comes in, and they do donation drives for us with toilet paper, paper towels, those type of things. These are 6 and 7 year old little kids. So we have always looking for volunteers.
Well, and boy, what a great illustration! I mean, you can really teach your kids something.
Absolutely.
And when you're talking about 6 and 7 year olds, it's you're never too young to start exposing them.
Absolutely.
And show them ways that they can really help the community.
We had kids come in yesterday from a youth group that did an ice cream social in the afternoon, and they did some activities with the kids. And I don't care how grumpy you are, how bad your life is, ice cream is ice cream. And there were some smiling people in there yesterday with some ice cream. So, I can find, if you want to volunteer, I will find something for you to do.
Well, 2,500 volunteers is pretty impressive.
It is.
That's a lot of people. But like you say, and every volunteer you have means that's something that you're able to divert the funding that you get to something that's really needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've had a Boy Scouts that built a beautiful bike shed for us. We had a Boy Scout recently work on his Eagle project and made a bunch of intake bags with personal hygiene items. And he raised so much money by yard sales that he had an extra $1,300 that he donated to us just for our general fund.
Wow.
So this is an extremely generous community. And at the Brisbane Center, we're very, very aware of it, and we're very grateful for the community here.
Joe, if someone's interested in volunteering, the best way, just go to the website and find out about volunteering?
Yeah, go to the website, and there's a place separately for the mobility mentoring if you're interested in becoming a coach. There's also just a general volunteer information that comes directly to me, and then I reach out to them, and we connect to see what capacity they can work in.
Boy, David, just to look at the those numbers and the way volunteers and this really is a way to give back to if you've got some free time and are looking for something to get involved in, this is an easy way, and you're needed.
Yes, excuse me. Absolutely, we have just a quick rush through numbers. we provide close to 63% of all homeless shelter services in the entire planning district. So we're the largest shelter. Wow. We're the only shelter that operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And so without these volunteers, without all the contributions that people make, material contributions, we couldn't be successful. The other part of that that we want to make sure that people don't overlook is we have staff salaries to pay. And we have other elements to keep the lights turned on. So, mm-hmm. you know, those financial contributions are equally needed for the mm-hmm. shelter.
Absolutely.
In consideration of the number of services we provide. According to HUD's numbers, these are the most recent HUD numbers, there were about 890 points of service. And the Thurman Brisbane Center provided about 590 of those points of service, according to official numbers. I wanted to say also, too, relative to the folks that are coming through the shelter, we're finding that, and these are just recent numbers, about 44% of the people have been to the shelter before. And so I'm very concerned that we continue to ramp up these mm-hmm. restorative services
yeah.
because we want people to become employed, to have the skills they need, the supports they need to be successful long term. Without that investment, without those programs, folks are going to continue to churn through the shelter. We want that to stop. We'd like to work ourselves out of business so the shelter's not needed.
Yeah. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. BrisbaneCenter.org is the website. Joe Hargrove and David Cooper from the Thurman Brisbane Center in this morning. Much more coming up. We need to take a break. We'll be right back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Well, we're learning a lot this morning from the Thurman Brisbane Center. It's David Cooper here, the executive director, and Joe Hargrove is here, the community relations officer and the volunteer coordinator. But Joe, as someone who experienced this and who experienced homelessness in the Brisbane Center, when you walk in, how long does it take you to sort of process where you're at and then to get the determination, or I guess the Thurman Brisbane staff talks to you about what's next? But it would seem like it takes a little bit of time just to process, you know, where am I at and and how can I get going again?
And I think it's up to each individual. But I know personally for me, and when I talked to a lot of the men there mainly, your first 24 hours, you're a mess because you just can't believe
sure.
you're there. And but within the first 2 days there, you're required to meet with the case manager. And that was very beneficial to me because then I understood what my options were there, and I saw the progress that could be made. So, you know, your first 24 hours, you're just feeling things out. You're not sure what's happening. But once you start with the case manager and finding out, you know, about the escrow program, and there's doesn't cost anything, and here's the meals, and there are some specific rules because it's communal living and those type of things, then it just gives you a focus. You're like, well, I think I can get through this. This can help me. And that's what I noticed a lot of the residents, like by the second or third day, they're kind of understanding because they've met with the case managers. Our case managers are extremely strong individuals. They're wonderful, very, very good at what they do, highly focused on just promoting that positive attitude about, you know, that journey back into permanent housing. And that's what they did with me. They said, here's what you need to do. They gave me the figures. Here's what you need to save. And I just followed that program. And I did stay there 90 full days. I did stay there for 3 months. And I remember back in that bunk with 28 other guys snoring like crazy, like the helicopters were landing, and thinking, God, is this really my life right now?
Yeah.
But I look back now 6 years ago, and I'm like, God, that was my life, and thank you for that, because I see what I can do to help now. But I think it takes 2 or 3 days once you get in there before you can really start focusing on what, you know, it's a shock. It's a shock on your life.
It has to be.
And people that have never been homeless, they can't fathom what it's like. Because I never thought. I mean, I'm a college educated guy. My dad was a general in the military. I had a stay home mom. I don't have all the history that some of the people do. So I had a little of advantage there. But it's just it's a positive place that provides dignity and respect. And you know, it helps you just to get back on your feet. And that's what we do. You know, we're all about second chances. That's what we're all about there. We're not prejudicial against anybody. I think everybody in this world has gotten a second chance at least once. I know I have. So that would be my answer on that one.
Well, and David, I guess for people who look at the Thurman Brisbane Center and just say, you know, that's you know, yes, you're providing a place for people to stay, but you're also providing them trying to get them the skills to move forward and get to the point where they're able to get back out on their own and to stay on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the thing that's really we've been focusing on recently since I've been on board is strengthening the building so that we do have some long-term capacity to provide emergency shelter. I mentioned a couple things to do with that. One is solar energy, solar power. We're in the process of installing solar power on the building.
Okay.
We've also upgraded our high-velocity air conditioning system to a high-efficiency system, reducing our electric bills. We also have put in LED lighting throughout the building, so we're grateful to have those grant supports to be able to accomplish those things, strengthening the building. We're focusing on strengthening people's nutrition so that there are certain nutritional needs that folks who have been homeless have. And so we have a new program coming out called the UCAN program, Understanding Cooking and Nutrition, helping children and adults to learn how to select, prepare, consume, and store healthy foods. And then the last piece, again, to focus on mobility mentoring, you know, I want to say a quick word about that too. Mobility mentoring is a very structured program. It's not just a standard mentoring program, a friending program, but it does have measurable outcomes associated with it. And so those outcomes, we track those to determine people's success with employment, with self-esteem, with building people's lives and families. So those are three primary ways, strengthening the building and strengthening the individuals in the building with nutrition and supports.
Boy, and they're all things you don't often think about when you think about a homeless shelter. But you've taken steps. I mean, you're way beyond that. You really are providing. You used the term earlier about restorative services. That's what you're all about there.
We are. We also I want to raise to the community the awareness of the need, and I think we're already aware of that, of more affordable housing. So often our folks just don't have the level of income to be able to afford housing in this high housing cost area. So we have to look elsewhere. We have to look in King George, Caroline County, mm-hmm. other places. Then transportation becomes a challenge. Yeah. So it's a systemic issue that I think we need to address holistically in the community, not in silos.
Well, and it sounds as though that just as far as the numbers go, that you're still dealing. Are you often at or near capacity?
We are often at near capacity, and so seldom do we have much of a bed space. And so we almost always have a waiting list at the front end. And getting back to affordable housing, always a waiting list at the back end. So it's important to know that most of our folks are self-resolvers. So we have limited access to be able to help people to rehouse. And so we're having to look consistently for what can they afford, how can they work together collaboratively so that they can acquire a home or an apartment and be able to sustain it for some period of time.
Yeah, no, the whole affordable housing, we could do many shows on that, and you see that with people, and I guess Joe, you see it too as far as people who even might be making good money, but if it's sometimes to find something around here that's anywhere reasonable can be you are looking at Caroline or King George,
and that is the issue in this plan of District 16. It costs the same to rent a 2-bedroom apartment here than it does in Northern Virginia, but incomes are about 40% higher up there. So there's the issue right there. If you have a husband and wife with two kids, they both make $9 an hour. to stay in a two-bedroom apartment for $1,200, they have to work 110 hours a week just to sustain that apartment. So then when something goes wrong, a medical issue, a car breaks down, somebody gets sick, one of them loses their jobs, that puts them at risk. And that's the problem that we see. So we would love to have affordable housing in this area, but it's just very, very difficult, very, very difficult to find.
And you mentioned that one of the things is that you work on is budgeting, and I guess that's a great to give
yes.
people some tools to that and to understand what you can get and what you can't get.
There's an opportunity. We have in our mobility mentoring program, we're using Consumer Financial Protection Bureau materials entitled or called Your Money, Your Goals. And so that's integrated within our mentoring program so that we can help people to think through, well, what's my income? What am I going to spend it on? And often people mm-hmm. are focused on short term. Well, if I have $10 today, I better spend it today rather than save $2 for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so we're really focused on helping people to become long-term successful, particularly that program. I want to mention briefly some positive numbers. Of the folks who came in with average income at entry, and this is folks who have stayed longer than 29 days, we had a 54% increase in income of folks, average income, among those folks exiting the shelter.
Okay, wow.
So there's a pot, and the numbers are from $1,059 per month to $1,633 per month. So you can see that there's a substantial increase in average income. So there are some positive yeah. results of this good case management and this mobility mentoring.
We're talking about Thurman Brisbane Center this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. David Cooper and Joe Hargrove here from the Thurman Brisbane Center. BrisbaneCenter.org is the website. We've talked about the need for volunteers. I'm sure there's also a need for people and organizations financially to give regularly to the Thurman Brisbane Center.
Yes, I want to mention a number. So for our emergency shelter services, we provide those for less than $34 per day per person. So I don't think there's any place, even the motels and hotels in the community, that you can get for that price.
Yeah.
So it's we're very frugal in our costs and our expenses. And so we're also providing, and separate from that, is this mentoring program you hear me keep talking about, because that particular program has a real opportunity, and this is used across the country in 130 sites across the country. It's an evidence-based practice
yeah.
doing very well to helping people increase that income. So we do need income, financial support for the organization. You can do that by going to our website. You'll find opportunities there to give in a variety of ways, not only material goods, but financially as well.
And I've had volunteers that say, well, I can only volunteer Wednesday night from 9 o'clock till 11. Well, we don't have a lot of opportunities there. They'll say, what else can I do? And I just tell them, you can donate financially once mm-hmm. a month. And a lot of people do that. I don't care if it's $5 a month or $100 a month. You know, those kind of income, we need that kind of funding, you know, to keep on doing these good things we're doing for the community. So financial contributions are very, very important for us to keep our doors open.
Our budget for this year is going to be the largest budget in the organization's history, yet the smallest budget of any other homeless services provider in this region. So,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah, so we're providing 63% of those services, and our budget is smaller than anyone else, but it's still the largest budget in the organization's history
yeah.
because we need to be able to accomplish that budget for success for our folks.
And I wanted to add, too, Dave was talking about $34 a day, and that includes all the things you've heard about today, the 95,000 meals, the case management, a computer bank, a laundry facility, everything that we have. And this is public knowledge, but Rappahannock Regional Jail, to be locked down 24 hours a day there, is $68 a day. So that just shows how frugal we are with our donations. So when you donate to us, your money is being spent very, very wisely.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, I know a lot of organizations will talk, and I'm sure it's would be the same for the Brisbane Center, where they'll say when you're going out and shopping and you need all the kinds of things that any household
yes.
does. And one way to do things is when you go out and you buy those things, buy double and drop it off at the Brisbane Center.
Yeah. I always joke around about, you know, there's 80 people living there. So when we get low on toilet paper, that's
yeah.
a scary day, man. That's a scary day. So, you know, bring it in. And we have volunteers. We have a couple that comes in every single Friday, for the last year and a half. And that's what they do. They take our current needs list, which is on our website, and they bring in oranges, apples, toilet paper, feminine hygiene products, toothpaste, shampoo, whatever we need that week. And so that's a great benefit for the residents too.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine the kind of things that you go through and how quickly you would go through mm-hmm. some things.
Yeah.
So there's you know, whatever you can do and however you can do it, whether it's to donate items or to donate money or just to volunteer, lots of ways that you can help.
And, you know, Ted, any of the listeners today, we would love for them to come and take a tour.
Yes.
We would love for them just to call us and say, can I come see your facility? We would love that because we're very, very proud of that clean, dignified facility, and we'd love to have the listeners come visit us.
You're over, is it the industrial park? The Fredericksburg yes. Industrial Park is where yes. you're at. You're in the back. Is it Central Avenue?
471 Central Road, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22401.
No, it does not look like anything that you have in your mind that you think, well, this is what a shelter would look like. It does not look mm-hmm. like that. It's just it's a very welcoming place.
It's amazing how far it reaches, too. I was in a meeting in Northern Virginia yesterday. And the person that I was meeting with said, oh, yes, I volunteered there. And I thought, my goodness, you know, this person's from Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
I would not have expected. So the reach of the Thurman Brisman Center is amazing. Thurman Brisman's vision for this place some years ago, you know, I wish that lady was still here to see what the shelter has developed into. I think her vision was broad and specific, and we're accomplishing that.
I remember years ago when there was no Thurman Brisbane Center at that time, but it was a real cold time, and a lot of churches got together and started taking care of,
yep.
started housing people, and that's kind of where the early days. And no, you've come a long way, and just to hear about these programs is really an eye opener to me. I didn't realize that you had so many. You had so many programs.
We have another program that we just came out this year called Loads of Love, and we have gotten an incredible response with that. We even had ESPN there interviewing some of our children. Loads of Love came from Nick Suttenberg, who's the long snapper for the Washington Redskins, and they came up with a program to make laundry facilities available for
yeah.
children, because some of the children were skipping school because they were getting bullied with dirty clothes. So we have a Chris is our grant writer, and he applied for the grant, and we were one of few that received it. And so we have a Washington Redskin room, and it's definitely Washington burgundy and gold. But we have washing machines now that last 3 to 5 years, and they're front loaded so the children can learn how to do their laundry. And we brought volunteers in to show them how to do it. So that's a program that's a life skill that the children are learning.
Yeah.
So we have lots and lots of innovative things that we do. And I think that's one of the things Dave did when he came here. He's got a vision of lots of different things. And it's this Washington Redskin room. I had a call from the San Francisco 49er fan club that was upset the Redskins were getting stuff. How come they weren't? So they came in and made some meals. I didn't know there was a 49er fan club in Fredericksburg, but
yeah.
there is.
Yeah.
Over 100 guys are in that thing. So it's that publicity right there has just really helped us a lot.
Now, just a little bit of time, David, that I've known you, you don't seem to be short on ideas. That you've got ideas, and probably even more than you've even verbalized here or elsewhere in the community.
Yeah, my work in the past used to be with asset-based community development. So I worked through Drew University and a United Methodist Communities of Shalom. And so I worked around the country helping to do community development,
yeah.
focused on community assets, helping them to put them together in purposeful, meaningful ways.
Thurman Brisbane Center, our focus. BrisbaneCenter.org is the website. David Cooper and Joe Hargrove here. Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Shubin.
Good stuff today. David Cooper, Joe Hargrove with Thurman Brisbane Center, brisbanecenter.org, the website. Before we get out of here this morning, I guess there are various ways, David, that the people, if they want to give, can give. You can drop it by. You can do it online. Whatever works for you.
Yes, so we invite all the community to stop by. Please, we'd love to give you a tour of the facility and get you to see firsthand how well-run, how organized, how clean, neat this facility is, and to connect with some of the residents there, to build some relationships with folks there. You're welcome to sit down for our evening meals. That's open to the community. And importantly, for this year, for this budget year, you know, we invite people to consider the Brisbane Center in their giving, both their individual giving, their corporate giving, legacy campaigns. There are lots of different ways that folks can give to the center. And if you have questions about that, please feel free to reach out to me or to our resource officer, Chris Payton. You can reach me at 540-899-9853, extension 127. That's 540-899-9853-127.
And you mentioned, Joe, just the fact, you know, of stopping by, seeing you can see some things on Facebook, but there's nothing like seeing it. And, you know, you'd said that just come on by and meet some people.
I love giving tours, and I welcome anybody to come by. And, you know, you can call me, and I'm same number, 899-9853, extension 114. And we'd love to show you the Washington Redskin room. We'd love to show you our beautiful, clean kitchen that's got the highest rating from the health department you can get. We'd like to show you, you know, our playground area for the children, the basketball courts, our reading room, and just, you know, we'd like to show you everything that we have at the center. We welcome any visitors.
And if you like, we'll come to you. Please just reach out to us, and we'll be glad to come out and visit with you, share more information about the center.
Well, and we didn't talk about it. This could be a whole other show to talk just about what you do with kids, because, you know, we talked about just the trauma of a person going in, but as a family, and just you just wonder sometimes what kids must think. And it sounds like you've got a lot of programs geared, you know, to keep kids busy.
We keep the kids very, very busy, very busy.
And we also focus on reading. We want children to be able to read at third grade level by third grade. Mm-hmm. And that's an indicator of people staying out of the prison pipeline, for those folks who have heard that.
It is brisbanecenter.org is the website, the Thurman Brisbane Center. Boy, Joe, it's been great to meet you. Your story is really inspirational, and the fact that it's worked out, and you're able to give back what you can, and just with the passion that you have for this.
Thank you, Ted.
And David, it's good to have you in the community now. This is what a ministry you have here.
Thank you, Ted. Yes, it's been rewarding for me. And you know, I remember the term "for such a time as this." And so, you know, I think that, you know, my sense is I'm in the right place at the right time. And we'll see what the Spirit does through all of this work.
BrisbaneCenter.org to get involved with the Thurman Brisbane Center and their good work in the community. Well, this is just the beginning. I look forward to doing future shows with both of you and focusing more on the work of the Brisbane Center. BrisbaneCenter.org, and again, look for ways you can get involved, whether it's volunteering, financial, maybe both, whatever you can do.
Wonderful.
That sounds great.
Thanks. Good to have you guys here. David Cooper, Executive Director. Joe Hargrove here from the Thurman Brisbane Center in Fredericksburg. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.